Welcome back, everyone. It is 2015. It is the Mad Nerds Podcast. We are back for our first episode of the new year, episode 12. New year, no news. Because quite frankly, Mike, we don't have a whole lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, it's very limited, if you will.
Yeah, the holidays were not kind to the nerd world as far as, like, big actual news happening. So we decided to go with a nice, clever title because everybody says, new year, new me. It's like, for us, it's new year, no news. Nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. There wasn't very many comics released. There wasn't very much to talk about in the realm of, like, casting or you know, anything, really. It was just very sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And we tried to record episode 11 over Skype as we normally do, you know, with our normal programs to upload it to iTunes and the like. So if you've been dedicated and following us on iTunes or on Podomatic or Stitcher and you're like, where was the podcast? Well, there's this funny thing that happened. My laptop is ghetto and the recording software did not particularly like this. So that kind of had a little issue. So we ended up doing it over Twitch, which was awesome. If you joined us on that, thank you. So good thing we've been off for these last couple of weeks, Mike. We took last week off, of course, for the holidays, and now we're back, so we can do our comics update, and we're just going to jump right into that. We've got some other things we'll discuss here in a bit. But, Mike, what have you been reading in the comics for the last couple of weeks as we've been kind of taking some time off?
Well, it's been very slow. Like I said, wasn't a lot out. I was caught up on Batman Endgame, which is getting crazy. The Batman Annual number 3 came out, which was an Endgame tie-in, which was very creepy and cryptic and a recommended read for anybody that's been keeping up with the Endgame series, as well as just if you like the Joker and how like sick and sadistic he is, it's an awesome read. There isn't very much Batman in that issue, which it's fine. Everything doesn't have to revolve around what Batman is doing all the time, but that was it was awesome. I read Deathstroke number 3 as well, which was intense. I guess my Deathstroke, you know, knowledge was tested because I did not know he had a son and all this stuff, and they kind of talk about that in this book. His son Jericho being, you know, captured, and he's having all these flashbacks, and he's not sure if they're just crazy dreams he's having or stuff that actually happened because of the serum that they made him take in the first issue. So a lot of stuff going on in those. Future's End is continuing to be Future's End. I have not picked up number 35 yet, but I will pick up 35 and 36 this coming week to have for you for next week.
All right, yeah, big stuff, Mike. Any kind of universe-changing stuff happening, the stuff that you've read, or anything major as far as going forward for the DC Universe, anything notable like that?
Well, I mean, the Joker is just absolutely insane in Batman Endgame, so it needs to be read. I wouldn't say it's, like, super-duper universe-changing, like the stuff that's going on over in Marvel, foreshadowing. but it's definitely leaning towards a lot of stuff. And I mean, we still have a lot more of Future's End to get to before, you know, it hits Convergence. I think there's about 16 more issues, so we got a ways to go before stuff like that happens in DC.
Yeah, a ton of stuff is still, there's plenty of time for that to happen, of course, in DC. And, you know, over on the Marvel side, there were some releases that I haven't had a chance to review yet, such as, you know, the new Moon Knight issue, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic. I know a lot about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, but since I haven't gotten a chance to read it for myself, I don't want to review it for the show. But, Mike, I have, of course, been reviewing Axis number 9, Axis in general, the series. Number 9 came out the day before Christmas. Awesome. And there's a lot of stuff going on. Of course, when we left off, good old Cletus Cassidy was making the ultimate sacrifice. He was willing to die for the cause of the villainous heroes, and the cause of the villains that have become heroic. So this was a huge issue. Of course, picks right up where the last one left off. Falcon and Captain America are fighting, and Captain America is saving the Red Skull so that the inversion spell can be undone, with Charles Xavier's consciousness, of course, taking the lead of Red Skull's body. New York's pretty messed up. There's just destruction everywhere because this is just a huge battle. There's a ton of villains and heroes going at it, doing their thing. Sabretooth and Mystique, kind of in the background of all this, rekindled a romance from a prior series. A lot of people maybe don't remember that they were involved romantically from, like, the 90s cartoons and things like that. But so that was kind of interesting how they were doing that. And Mystique was talking with Sabretooth about how we really need to be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. We have to do what it's going to take to be heroic. So it's interesting. They make this decision that they are going to ultimately have to sacrifice the good side of themselves for the heroes, and they're going to have to return to being evil again. So that was a really interesting conversation that they had. And then, you know, you had Thor hunting down Loki because they had their stuff going on in the background, as we've reviewed. And Loki, something cool is that he's finally able to pick up Thor's hammer. He's finally able to pick up Mjolnir because, of course, Thor is unworthy. And Loki, because of the inversion spell, is worthy, and he kind of gets his moments. That's awesome. Apocalypse, of course, in the last issue, ripped Deadpool to shreds. And Apocalypse, though, who's, of course, inverted Genesis, he decides to switch sides, which is big. That kind of helps balance out the fight. But the big ending is all the magic people come back, and they reverse the inversion spell. However, our buddy Superior Iron Man, who's been so interesting, Tony Stark, evil Tony Stark, he says, I've planned for this. I'm not going back. So he created a shield that's able to block the inversion spell. And what it does is it kind of traps him, Sabretooth, and Havoc into this shield. So they did not, revert, if you will, back to their old selves. So that's pretty interesting. And so they're going to be involved in the Uncanny Avengers series. Sabretooth is, and some other stuff that's going on with that. Havoc goes and kidnaps Wasp, who he's married to right now. But something really cool, Mike, to kind of explain all this violence, was that the villains, they recorded a video of themselves taking the blame for everything that's happened before they were inverted back to their normal selves. And they explained that, you know what, we're the axis of evil, and we did all this, so we're taking the blame. That was their way of the axis of evil. Yeah. I was like, okay,
that's World War II.
Yep, incredibly clever, incredibly punny, very World War II-esque. We're Red Skull's Axis minions, you know. And this is really cool, to cover for the heroes, and there's a discussion that happens that basically Captain America explains they did this so that the world can trust the heroes again, because they didn't want the world to know that the heroes were responsible for this. And they basically said, you know, the heroes need to be able to trust the Avengers and the X-Men. And we see at the end a couple cool things. Spider-Man builds the statue for Carnage in his honor.
Oh, no.
So that exists in the Marvel Universe. And then Sabretooth, in a really heartfelt moment, writes this letter to, you know, Logan, the dead Wolverine, and says, you know what, now I understand what you were talking about all these years, Logan, and that you have to kind of suppress the monster inside of you that exists, this instinct, so that you can be the hero that you're called to be and that you need to be. And I was like, man, Sabretooth, that's really cool, because he's taking up Wolverine's mantle now, kind of for the good guys. I'm like, that's a nice place to take Sabretooth. After all these years of kind of being Wolverine's rival, well, he needs something to do. So I thought this was a good way to wrap it up. And kind of the theme is that you have to be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, ultimately. And that it's really not that big of a difference between being a hero and being a villain. All heroes have something villainous buried deep inside. And all villains, underneath all of their evil, have something heroic inside of them. And if you're Deadpool, you have a sane side of you also to the insane.
Not running around just cutting things up with swords and shooting hundreds of bullets.
Yeah, everywhere. Not just bang, 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 and siggity snice. It's just complete awesomeness. So a good ending to X and a good ending to Axis. It totally did what it said it would do. It's changed the Marvel Universe. The aftermath of this is certainly going to be setting up Secret Wars. It's certainly going to have a big impact going forward in the Marvel comics that are being released now and going forward. So, good ending to Axis. If I was going to give this event a score, I would probably give it a 9 because of its impact. But yeah, there were some blah issues, but a lot of the tie-ins were good. If you didn't get a chance to read this when it comes out in trade, definitely at least read the core 9 issues. And if you have the money to get an omnibus of this, by all means, get the omnibus when it comes out, because really good series, a lot of great stuff going on.
Well, I think as far as the trades go, it should cover some of the tie-ins. Obviously, it's going to probably span about 6 or 7 trades, but it'll be pretty good. And that's how I'll be probably picking this up to check it out.
Absolutely. And with Secret Wars coming up, I'm glad I was able to kind of keep up on everything with this. It was very difficult, as you could tell. You know, I was a little behind, and doing a podcast. If we did this podcast last week, I probably wouldn't have had everything read that I needed to in order to properly review the series. But really good stuff, Mike, in the world of comics.
Yeah, comics, like we've said for so many weeks now, that like everything just keeps getting better, it feels like. It could be worse. It could be...
Yeah, some weeks are better than others, you know? It's like we've been saying with Future's End. Sometimes the Future's End books are good, sometimes they're bad, you know? There were some of the tie-ins for Access that I was like, that was kind of garbage. Didn't really need that. You know, like there was a story with Doctor Doom and Iceman, and I'm just like, not a big fan of that one.
Doctor Doom and Iceman sounds absolutely horrible.
It was, because it was a two-part story, and I really could have done without the Iceman part. I really liked the Doctor Doom democracy part, where people were, like, ready to murder him, and he's like, wait, I'm trying to put in a democracy in Latveria. And they said, oh, really? Well, maybe we won't kill you then.
Latveria and democracy, which is funny, because that's where I'm at in the Marvel LEGO Super Heroes game, is I just made it to Latveria with the Fantastic Four.
Nice.
I'm having a great time with that.
Yes, definitely be sure to check out the streams. Mike and I will probably be doing some of that. We tried to do a Let's Play, and it totally failed. We'll play it co-op. Like, co-op is totally fun. We'll do that separate from our individual stuff. But the Let's Plays, we're going to keep it solo, because that's the only way we know how to do it right now. So, but speaking of, you know, groundbreaking and breaking of things, Mike, the Agent Carter series premieres this Tuesday at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 Central, and a lot to look forward to with this. It's taking the break. It's kind of taking the spot of the break that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be on during its winter hiatus. It's an 8-part mini-series, if you will, and its first two parts are this Tuesday, back-to-back at 9 and 10 Eastern Time. Check your local listings. Depending on where you are, it'll vary based on what time it's on. I know here where I am in Arizona, it's on at 8. And so it'll be on at 8 and 9. Mike, a lot to look forward to with this. This is, of course, a period piece picking up right after the death of Captain America. And just so much to look forward to. The directors of the first four episodes are Louis D. Esposito, Joe Russo, who did Captain America the Winter Soldier, Peter Leto and Scott Winnett, and, you know, Christopher Markus and Stephen McFeely, who helped write the first two Captain America movies, are writing this series. So
it's very much a star-studded... you can't say cast, because I'm sure that there's going to be a bunch of people that are, you know, considered stars or will become stars because of this show. But, like, the writing team and the directing team, the behind-the-scenes team is definitely a who's who of people that have worked for Marvel and stuff, which is amazing.
Right, and something that sticks out to me is they clearly care about this character. Like, the fact that these writers and these directors want to come back and be involved with a mini-series on TV, even though they've been mostly involved with movies, that just shows that they really want to develop this Peggy Carter character, and they want to explore that time period some more. It really just shows how much they love and appreciate Hayley Atwell and her work and everything that's going to go towards this period piece.
Yeah, that is a huge part of this. And, I mean, it is a great character. Look at how well it did in the Avengers movie. Well, not Avengers, but, you know, the first Avenger, the Captain America movie.
Right. I'd say easily the best love story of any of the Marvel movies to date. The building of the relationship between Steve Rogers and Peggy Carter was, I think, the best done of this entire series.
Yeah, and I usually don't gravitate towards those things in the superhero movie genre. I usually tend to actually dislike stuff like that, but this was very well done. I thought it was it made Steve Rogers seem more like a human than you know, some sort of super being.
Right, and the whole idea of, you know, don't change who you are. And it's interesting because Peggy Carter liked Steve Rogers before Steve Rogers became physically attractive to her, you know. The foundations were laid when he was just a little scrawny guy. Skinny Steve, as they like to call him.
Skinny Steve.
I thought that was really cool. You know, we've seen the previews for this, Mike. What are you expecting out of this series? Of course, with all these alien things going on and the flashbacks that we've had in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, what are you hoping will be the fallout or the aftermath of Agent Carter, hopefully the first of several seasons to come, and setting up things to come down the line?
Yeah, I just hope that it is the spy show that I thought it was going to be in the from the preview trailers, from the teasers and stuff. It looked very, like I said when we first saw him, very James Bond-like, very espionage-y, very, you know, covert. I want to see a lot of stuff like that. And I feel like it's almost the complete opposite of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they just kind of go in and fight things in what I've seen so far. I mean, they try and be stealthy, but they don't do a very good job at it.
No, but they're very bad.
This seems like it's going to be more secret agent-y, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that founding of S.H.I.E.L.D. moment and kind of the fallout. I want to see how, you know, Peggy Carter reacted to the death of Steve Rogers and the different things that would result from that. And, of course, Dominic Cooper is only slated to be in one episode right now that we know of. He is scheduled to be in the pilot episode, kind of to establish the story. And Dominic Cooper's a busy guy, so I'm just glad that he made time to come back and kind of set the tone for the rest of the series. Of course, though, Jarvis is actually going to be a significant part of this series, played by James D'Arcy.
Yeah, that's intriguing to me, because I want to see Jarvis.
Clearly, Jarvis and Tony Stark had a big enough relationship that Tony named the AI after him. So I want to see Jarvis as a person. What was he like? How did he interact with Peggy Carter? What was his personality like? Hopefully we'll get a little bit of background into that and kind of how all this came to be.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is, like, you get Tony Stark's dad, you know, and then I want to see where's Tony going to fall into this. Is there going to be any mentions of, like, child Iron Man just running about or something if they're hanging out, you know, with Stark Industries somewhere?
Right. I mean, obviously this is set in, like, 1945, so you'd expect Tony, or I think like 1945, 1946. So Tony may not get mentioned in this, but I think we'll definitely get the seeds of like, hey, you know, Howard is seeing this girl or whatever. Because the kid obviously didn't come for probably 20 something years later. I'm not quite sure how old they expect Iron Man to be in the films. They've never really mentioned it, but that's something that's interesting to me. And the other thing that's really interesting to me is when you're doing these flashback pieces, you can't do anything too huge, because you don't want to affect things down the line and make people wonder, well, why didn't this affect something in the future? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see where they're going to go with this. Obviously, the Inhumans and the Kree, they can do that because they already showed that the SSR, when they captured Dr. Whitehall way back when in the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season, so they have knowledge of these alien tech. They have knowledge of certain things. I'm curious to see if that comes into play at all, or if it does just stick to, like you said, a spy show of nature, which I would be okay with. I think watching Peggy Carter just go and beat some tail and totally, like, that time period for a woman was so huge because they weren't expected to do much. They were totally seen as office workers, you know, stay at home in the kitchen. And she's going to break some ceilings on this show, and I bet that's going to be a huge part of it as well.
Yeah, that's going to be great, because you're going to get a lot of, you know, we have the Lady Thor thing going on in the comic books now, and now we'll get it on Marvel TV, where there's like a strong female character that maybe young girls could look up to and get into comic books and stuff like that if they're watching this with their mom or dad or brother who happens to be, you know, a comics fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And a big thing with that, Mike, I remember just San Diego Comic-Con when they announced that this was going to happen and they had the panel. And every question came from somebody cosplaying Peggy Carter, whether it was Peggy Carter in military garb or Peggy Carter in street garb. They were cosplaying her, and I thought, man, that's just so cool. Like, it just shows that Peggy Carter is making a difference in, you know, young women's lives, young girls' lives, something to look up to and say, you know what, I don't have to just be average. So something for me with this, Mike, is I kind of expect the ratings for this show to be higher than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not just because a lot of the main shows are going to be on break, but because of that female audience that's going to be drawn to her. Obviously, you know, she's an attractive lady, so the guys aren't going to complain. But will it draw that female demographic, too, that superhero shows often struggle to get? Shows like Arrow and The Flash do well because they're on the CW, and they target specifically a female audience with their romance storylines and, you know, sexual undertones. This show is very different in that it's empowering women instead of, like, putting relationships and stuff at the forefront.
Yeah, and I mean, it's on a more mainstream network as well. ABC, you know, the Disney hype beast that it is.
Yeah, the hype train that is ABC Networks.
So, I mean, they've been pushing it for now since Comic-Con, and that's almost a year ago now.
Almost 6 months ago since San Diego Comic-Con when we got the official announcement. We kind of had some whispers right around this time when Captain America the Winter Soldier was coming out and trailers were debuting and all that, when they were hinting this might not be the last you see of Peggy Carter, this old lady struggling with her memory. So just kind of my final thoughts on this. You know, we will be reviewing this for the show. This is going to take the place, the slot of the Gotham Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the beginning. It'll be Agent Carter that's going to take the lead. So that's why we wanted to make sure that we talked about it, kind of gave our thoughts and previews on it. So, you know, Mike, I'm pumped. I'm excited for some Peggy Carter.
Well, let's not forget that Gotham is also coming back this week with Jim Gordon getting his start as an Arkham security guard. So that will also be back on Monday on the 5th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot they were kind of starting earlier than the other shows that were in their time slot. That's correct. Thank you for reminding me, Mike. I would have totally forgotten to watch it otherwise. So that's kind of enough of that. But sticking with Marvel, Mike, Agent Carter, they want to hype the ratings. They want to do as much as they can. So Marvel did something kind of genius. In case you missed this out there, people go check Marvel's YouTube page. This is the funniest thing I may have seen in a long time. They released a teaser trailer called an ant-sized trailer, an ant-sized teaser for Ant-Man. And it is literally so tiny, you cannot see what happens. And then it says, for the human-sized version, be sure to check out Marvel's Agent Carter on Tuesday. And I just laughed. I was like, oh, Marvel trolling the internet. This is perfect.
Today they
released a little bit more of a full-size, like, 15-second thing where you can see that little bit of the characters, and it says, for the full teaser trailer, tune into Agent Carter on Tuesday.
Yeah, Marvel is a marketing genius. Like, whoever is in marketing at Marvel needs, 10 awards, because it's ridiculous how good they are at doing stuff like this compared to the DC, Warner Brothers, marketing train.
Yeah, what marketing train, Mike?
Yeah, see, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. Like, where
marketing,
you don't get cool
silence
stuff.
Marketing silence from the DC side. So, you know, I'm excited for that. Good way to do that. Of course, they're expecting a ton of viewers, and it's going to get that extra added boost. So maybe people who weren't anticipating watching that show might tune in and improve the live ratings. And, you know, just one other quick note on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and TV ratings. We'll have a full breakdown of the Ant-Man trailer, by the way. I might do one solo, kind of a frame-by-frame thing, and of course Mike and I will discuss it on the show separate from that. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Mike, they released the DVR ratings. They released the adjusted ratings for up to December 8th, I believe, is as far as I've been able to see. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has taken over Tuesday nights as the number one rated show for the 18 to 49 demographic. Not surprising, but so many people look at the, you know, live ratings and say, oh, the show's just kind of doing okay. Well, and as these are starting to come out, people are seeing, hey, guess what? Young people love this show. They just don't get a chance to watch it live.
Yeah, a lot of people have things they do on Tuesday nights. I don't know what they are.
Well, I mean, the show isn't on until, 9 o'clock Eastern, or just 9 o'clock, you know, as its time slot in most places. So if you're raising a family, because that is that family age, or if you're in college, you probably are either studying, sleeping, putting kids to bed, doing homework, whatever, at your job, if you're, you know, a non-traditional college student where you go to class and then you go to work, like, right afterwards, and you're working night shifts.
Like we did.
Yeah, like we did when we were in college. We were working at 9 o'clock at night, so it just goes to show kind of the changing of the guard in how people are taking in TV, how people are taking in their media, and that you can't just look at live ratings for your advertising. You need to look at DVR and different ways to capitalize on all that.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff they're doing, like, for example, with Cox Communications, they're doing the, you know, the My Primetime, you know, on-demand stuff where, yeah, you watch the show and it kind of takes out some of the commercials, but you get some commercials still because they don't let you fast forward through them because they have to get their advertising dollars for ABC.
Right. Same thing with the Watch ABC app. It's just the same thing. You can only skip so many commercials. It definitely trims it down for you, but you still get, I believe, about a minute and a half to 2 minutes of commercials per each block. But that's good news. That means Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not going anywhere. You know, not that we thought it would. But it's great news that the show's going to be sticking around to take this Inhuman story even farther in potential season 3 and season 4 leading up to the Inhumans movie. So I'm excited. I'm super psyched. I'm glad people are actually watching the show now.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to watch it I'm still not doing a very good job of catching up through Netflix and stuff, but I will definitely be caught up, hopefully, by the time the season comes back from its winter hiatus.
Yes, and of course the holidays are crazy. Nobody can catch up on anything during the holidays. One big thing also, it kind of in the realm of trailers, sticking with Marvel here real quick, the Age of Ultron trailer, the full trailer, the first full trailer, will be making its debut on Monday, January 12th, during the College Football National Championship game, which kicks off at 8:30 Eastern time. They have not said like when it will be debuting, whether it's like right before kickoff or sometime in the middle of the game. But once again, Marvel hitting their target audience. They're trying to get young people, and who likes college football more than young people? You know, that's a great demographic. Monday night's a huge night, and on a big stage where they are going to probably get non-traditional superhero fans viewing this game. This will be huge. And like last, for the Avengers, they had a Super Bowl trailer. For Captain America, the Winter Soldier, they had a Super Bowl trailer. I would not be shocked if this and Ant-Man had a Super Bowl trailer. Once again, Marvel, the marketing train is just going full steam ahead.
Yeah, the old hype train, the hype beast, all that good stuff. They're ready to go, trying to get their money's worth out of their advertising dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. So this will be, of course, a full trailer, not with the teaser like what we saw last time. We'll probably get a little bit more idea of story, some more dialogue other than just a few lines here and there from people. And like the last one was basically Ultron and then a track and a little bit of Tony Stark, a little bit of Black Widow. So I'm hoping to see a little bit more out of this one, probably a little bit longer as well, I'm guessing, closer to 2.5 minutes. And it's on Disney. It's on a Disney network with ESPN. So once again, the Disney network knows how to make money for itself. And this is certainly going to go a long way to help that. And we will have that trailer breakdown as well. Once again, I will probably do some frame-by-frame things to hit the main points of that. And we'll review it on episode 14 of the show, since that's not going to be for another couple of weekends.
Yeah, let's not forget that Disney's probably going to hit all this with... with the Star Wars stuff, too.
Yep, just be ready, everybody. This is the year of Disney. I read an article about a week ago that said, I think that under the Disney umbrella, like with Pixar and Lucasfilm and Marvel, they have like 12 movies or something like that coming out this year. It's definitely the year of Disney in the theaters. They have two live-action princess and otherwise stories. I believe it's like Cinderella and The Jungle Book are getting live-action adaptations this year.
Oh, they're getting another... Hold on. Wait a second. They're doing a live-action Jungle Book again?
I believe so. Hopefully this one will not suck.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you see the first one?
I did not. I did not. It's so funny because there are several other companies who have done better versions of a live-action Jungle Book that are just simply not called the Jungle Book.
Well, you can't call it the Jungle Book.
No, you cannot. Once again, don't quote me on the second live-action movie. I just know the Cinderella one is coming. I'm not a Disney expert. I love Disney and everything they do, but I by no means am an expert at it. So the last thing we wanted to discuss was some casting news that came down a little bit ago. But we wanted to just discuss it real quick kind of before we do our ending of the show that we always do. And that is, Mike... they found Luke Cage. We have finally got a confirmation on who Luke Cage is, and it was who had been speculated. It's who we kind of wanted, and that is Mr. Mike Coulter. Will be Luke Cage in the Jessica Jones series, the Defenders series, and his own solo series, Luke Cage, on Netflix. So this is huge. It's going to start filming this year, and it's expected to be released in late 2015, starring Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones in her self-titled series, a.k.a. Jessica Jones. That is... the TV series name, and he will be Luke Cage in that, her main love interest.
Yep, and this is, Mike Coulter, his IMDb page is amazing. I mean, he has other, like, he has stuff like The Good Wife, American Horror Story he was on, Criminal Minds, you know, Zero Dark Thirty he was in Men in Black, he was in Blue Bloods, he's in a lot of big TV series, Royal Pains, Law and Order, but then also he has some nerd stuff in there too. He's a voice in Halo 5. He's a voice in the Halo TV series. Like,
and he was in Million Dollar Baby, so there's your action movie. He was in Salt as a CIA tactical leader, which was an action film, and Zero Dark Thirty, and Men in Black 3 as well. So he's got that good mix of acting talent. He's got the build for it, and when I look at him, he looks like an action star, and he looks like Luke Cage. I mean, Marvel, once again, getting it right. I know I really would have liked Terry Crews.
I feel like Terry Crews, I mean, Luke Cage can be funny, but he's a way more serious character. I don't know if Terry Crews has that kind of range to do, like, a serious thing.
Right, and the big thing is Terry Crews is busy. I mean, he's in a ton of stuff. He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I believe, on Fox, which you've already got some issues there with Disney and Fox. So this is just, for me, I think it's great casting. He's not a superstar, but he's pretty well-known, and, you know, he's already got the build for it. The dude is stacked. So I'm super excited for this, as well as Daredevil, which is coming out in 4 months. I'm going to binge watch that whole 13-episode series. It's going to be amazing. So once again, Marvel is finding a way to get their connected universe going. One other real quick thing kind of about the Netflix stuff before we get moving on, Mike, unless you had any final thoughts on Luke Cage.
No, I mean, like you said, great stuff. I look forward to seeing it at the end of the year, closer to the fall, I believe you said it was.
Yeah, it'll be closer to the fall. I think they're trying to space them about 6 months apart.
Yeah, and I'm ready for more stuff to watch on Netflix.
Yeah, and the big thing with this, though, you know, is that Daredevil and Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are very street level. They live in the same world as the Avengers, but they don't operate like them. They're not world saving. They're just trying to save the neighborhood, you know. So that's something I'm looking forward to, is this smaller size of a series where it doesn't have world implications and then beating up bad guys, and of course the Kingpin. That is going to be a crucial part of all their series, the underlying message of all those things.
Yes, the good old crime boss, the Kingpin, in the, you know, the mafia, the underworld, if you will.
Yes,
will Wilson definitely be Fisk. A huge part.
Wilson Fisk, played by Vincent D'Onofrio, is going to be in, I believe, all these series. So great actor for that as well. But Mike, something that's huge, kind of implications of this that other people might not think about, is you now have the possibility of having these people in the Civil War movie. Jessica Jones will already be in the Marvel Universe by then. Luke Cage will already be in the Marvel Universe by then. Possibly Iron Fist, as well as, of course, Daredevil. So the universe is growing, man. This could be interesting, because these are secret identities. Daredevil has a secret identity. Luke Cage, I'm not 100% sure where he stands on all that, but I don't believe he has a secret identity, because you can see his face when he's fighting crime. So
yeah, from what I've read of the Civil War, still ongoing read there, but they're all kind of involved in this in some way. Of course, Daredevil's big with Captain America. Luke Cage, I think, just kind of up and left from what I remember.
Yeah, and he was kind of in an awkward position, because him and Iron Fist had the Heroes for Hire thing going on, so clearly people are aware of their existence. So I feel like he would just kind of be in the, I'm staying out of this, I just want to protect my family. I want to protect Jessica and my daughter.
Well, I know Jessica just took the kid and ran to, like, Canada or whatever. There's a lot of places they can go with that, and I'm excited. I hope that they do it like we've been saying. I hope they do it as true to the comics as they can.
And exactly. And the big implications of the Defenders, of course, if Age of Ultron has the implications that we're expecting it to have, is that there's going to be a need for a team of heroes in New York, because the Avengers are going to get disassembled publicly, very publicly, in Civil War. So this ought to be just big things, and I'm glad they got somebody who is going to be fitting the part. And same thing with Kristen Ritter. You know, Jessica Jones has PTSD. That's a very difficult part to play. And she just kind of gets these powers by accident. These series are going to take a much darker tone. Not an R. They said not quite R, like a hard R, but not quite for kids. Like, kids will be able to watch them. I was reading some quotes from the runners of the Daredevil series, and they said these series on Netflix are very much designed for a older audience, but they're not going to make them too graphic that you wouldn't want your kids watching them. So I thought that was good. Very more violent, very more punchy, and a little bit more serious in their tone. But you don't want too much blood. You don't want, like, necks snapping, or, you know, terrible violence that your kids can't watch, because this is Marvel. They want to watch these things. These are kids. Let's remember.
Well, and the fact that, you know, it is, once again, a Disney-owned company, the people at Disney would never let that fly.
Right.
Like, and a lot of things in Disney movies don't die, you know.
I think they'd allow soft R. I mean, just because it is Netflix, and, like, obviously parents just need to make sure their kids aren't watching this stuff. if they don't want him watching it. But I think there are certain characters, particularly Daredevil, who a soft R would work okay. Like, he's beating stuff up, you know, there's, you know, possibly a little bit stronger language, maybe, I don't know, we're going to have to see. I'm excited. It's one of the kind of the biggest mysteries for me is what the heck do you expect from these series? And they just continue to release a little bit and a little bit to get all this Netflix hyped, Marvel's Netflix.
Yeah, this is going to be probably one of the best years that Marvel will ever have, I think.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, 2017, they're getting, or 2017, they're going to have three films coming out. So, amazing, or no, 2016 and 2017. My apologies. They'll have three movies coming out both of those years, plus Netflix, plus S.H.I.E.L.D., plus probably Agent Carter. Whew.
Yeah. They're definitely continuing to build towards, you know, something. So.
And if the Spider-Man crossover is happening, holy guacamole. That'll be, I will nerd rage to the max.
It's going to be something else. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. So as we always like to do, we get to close out our show with either a rant of the week or a discussion between Mike and I, or maybe plugging some stuff. You know, I don't really have any kind of rant in the nerd world that I want to do. But you know, before I get to that, Mike, you have something that you've been plugging on the show. We just want to make sure you get it in on this podcast. This one will actually be on iTunes and YouTube and the like. Tell us about Loot Crate.
Yeah, so Loot Crate, obviously, if you know what it is, it's, let me read exactly what it tells you it is. It's, hold on, where is it? Looking for the exact description of Loot Crate. How it works. Join Loot Crate, they send and your package, it's themed, they're always themed for the month. So like the one that I got, the one that made me sign up, was a anniversary themed crate. So it was their 1 year anniversary. They started in December of 2013. They sent out a bunch of stuff for, you know, anniversaries. It was Batman's 75th anniversary, so you got an exclusive Batman pop vinyl, which was colored as the Joker, which you can see if you go and check my Twitch. I've put it up a couple of times, and I put up a picture on Twitter and stuff. You got an exclusive Batman Endgame comic book cover. You got a Ghostbusters thing. There's, you know, a candy cane because it was, you know, Christmas time. You got some Tetris stuff because it's the 30th anniversary of Tetris being released. So that's cool. This month, it's going to be a Rewind theme. So they're looking to do some exclusive stuff from Star Wars, Voltron, and some a licensed t-shirt and a retro gaming inspired figure. So they're trying to go back to like the 80s, the 70s, all that cool, where kind of the nerd culture started with the video games and the Star Wars stuff and all that goodness. But all these crates, you get like a $40+ retail value. You sign up for 1 month, it's like $20. But if you do it for 6 months, it runs you about $106. But if you use my promo little code, I get a little cut back. And then, of course, that helps them grow as a company. And then you'll get your own promo code to use to give to your friends. So we have to link it in the video because it's a long thing. There's like a whole bunch of stuff to write down. But we'll put a tag in it for the YouTube video.
All right, so that's good stuff, Mike. So once again, make sure if you do sign up for Loot Crate to use his information. And, you know, like I said, I don't really have anything to rant on. I don't really have anything to plug. I was just very upset because I was traveling back to Phoenix from Las Vegas, and an unfortunate thing happened, Mike. A very unexpected thing happened. I was stuck in a snowstorm for 2.5 hours as it shut down the highway between Phoenix and Las Vegas. So a 5-hour trip turned into a 9-hour trip for me. So I've just been recovering and just, my goodness, I can't figure out. See, here's the thing, is that people here are not used to driving in ice. So instead of driving like an idiot, drive cautious. Like, that's just the only thing I really have to say, because the thing that actually held up all this traffic was not the snow. The snow was not what was causing it, not the ice on the roads. It was idiots in traffic who didn't know how to drive, who didn't know how to prepare. Yes, I-40 getting closed screwed a lot of things up because it affected traffic getting onto the highway that I needed to get onto. But just people, if you're driving in any kind of inclement weather, whether it's a dust storm, whether it's rain or snow or fog, just drive cautious, drive defensive, drive safe, plan ahead, and if you missed your turn, just compensate for it on the back end. Like, just know what you're doing ahead of time, try to be safe, because it's not just you out there, it's other people as well. Don't drive like a dummy. You know, drive smart so that people like me don't have to sit behind you and watch your traffic get cleaned up and different things like that, because that was dumb. And so, you know, there's that interest. It's just weird. I just was so upset, and I, you know, had to go to the bathroom outside in, you know, sub-freezing temperatures. I believe it was in the teens, and I needed to find a bush. You know, just not fun. Totally miserable. Everybody was miserable. And good thing it wasn't like a serious travel day between the two cities, because that would really suck. So I'm looking just at this as, you know, let's just be smart about this, you know. Let's not be stupid. Of course, snowstorms in Arizona, who would think? But it does happen. So wherever you may be, please don't be an idiot about this. And then as we always do, we like to just remind you where you can find us all over the internet. I'm, of course, at Superhero Deuce on Twitch. I'll be doing some more Destiny, some Lego Marvel, some possibly FIFA, different things like that. Check me out on Twitter, Superhero Deuce. A lot of good stuff happening. And we have been doing some, we tried to do a Mad Nerds Let's Play of Lego Marvel. Yeah, it didn't work. And Mike, where can the people find you all over the interwebs?
The same exact place. Twitch at Mike is the Hat. Twitter, Mike is the Hat. YouTube, Mike is the Hat. Look for some videos on that coming up. Probably one later on today and a couple throughout the rest of the week. Just got a lot of stuff going on there. Look, WWE 2K, FIFA, Lego Marvel, all that good stuff on Twitch will be up. Maybe some Minecraft soon.
Yes, we still have to avenge the death of Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, I don't know how well that's going to come off, but we'll, we might have to start a new world in Minecraft.
Yes, and I might purchase Minecraft. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of just sticking to my three games right now that I really enjoy on the PlayStation 4. I got a lot of Destiny to build up to so that we could finally take on the Vault of Glass with our extended Mad Nerds team that is Alabama and Casey and Cody and Cancun and other Sean.
Yeah, Sean, Cody, Casey, Advocate might get in there as well. Or Brandon, I think his real name is.
Yeah, we've got tons of people who we could rotate in and out of that. So, you know, I think that's about it. I think that's all we got, Mike. A little bit shorter this week from Mad Nerds. But, you know, just once we, like we said, New Year, no news. Perfect episode title for episode 12.
Yeah, that I hope everybody had a great, happy, and safe New Year's Eve and holidays. You have to spend some time with family and whoever, you know. Hope you had an awesome time, but that's all I got, David.
Yes, absolutely. So we thank you for joining us for this first edition of the Mad Nerds podcast in 2015. As always, be sure to like and subscribe this video. Share it with your friends and family. If you like what you see, you like what you hear. We hope that we will continue to bring you great product here in 2015 that is Mad Nerds. So we love you. God bless you all. Hello to the NSA guy. We are out.